This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. My name is Luann Linnegan, and I'm with
James Wrench.
James Wrench. We want you to hear his voice so that you can when you remember him say like James Wrench, right? Okay, so before we get into what we've been talking about, I want to make a couple announcements so that people know how to contact me if they have any questions for myself or James or anything we teach on air. So my email is luannplus4@gmail.com. And my telephone number is 631-745-7980. The program that I do with James here is Kingdom Recovery. It's God's Word and how to apply God's Word. And I'm going to say mental health, group therapy, individual therapy, 12-step programs in one. When I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus and God, when I gave my life to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit entered me, God started really talking to me about all the things that I've been going through prior to surrendering my life, because he was always there. I just needed to surrender to him and invite him into my heart. You know, going back to school, being sober, all these things that happened in my life, he brought it to a greater understanding as soon as I started to really seek his word and seek him in his word, and how he went hand in hand with everything that I've learned going back to school, being in the program myself, the 12-step program, having therapy, being a therapist, all the things that, you know, marriage, divorce, money, everything, parenting, friendships, everything in my life, how he showed me how it goes when I apply his principles, his kingdom into those affairs of my life, how to walk it out, what the promises look like, you know, how life looks when you're walking in the kingdom mindset. So it's a kingdom mindset in a natural body. How's that? That's the best way I can say it. It's your spiritual self walking ahead of your natural self. Hallelujah. You know. So the other thing I want to say is you could always call the radio station, and that's 772-221-1100. If you need to get in contact with me and you didn't have a pen, you could always call WCNO, and they'll give you all the information you need as far as how to contact me. Now, we do Kingdom Recovery, and then once a month we do At the King's Table with Pastor Tom. We try to get it in once a month. Sometimes we're blessed and we get it twice a month, right? And he's from Treasure Coast Victory Center. That's the church that James and I attend also. So that's like where our roots, we're rooted there. And you can always go online there and see the literature. Pastor Tom just came out with his third book, No More Bad Days. It's devotionals. Dynamic devotionals, daily devotionals, weekly devotionals, however you want to line it up. I'm actually doing it with some of my, well, I'm doing it with one neighbor right now, but we're getting ready to offer it to a few other people and do like a little group session. And it's a really good book. So if you would like some information on how to get that book, you can always call me, the radio station. They'll give you my number. And he also has What Now, When You First Become Born Again and You Accept Jesus Christ as Your Lord and Savior, What's Next? And also What Now, you know, and then there's Kingdom Now. The message, the good news that Jesus Christ preached while he was here with us on earth, filled with the Holy Spirit. But now
and
we
he's
are
teaching you your kingdom, right?
Yes, he's teaching
as a believer.
All right.
Because a lot of people are suffering, not realizing what
they've
right. been given.
Amen. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. And that's what the 12 steps are, 12-step programs. That's what, you know, everything, it's a, you know, I say kingdom recovery. It's recovering the kingdom that you already had. God gave us in the beginning of time his plan to have us, mankind, have dominion and authority over the earth. Because we are the kings of the earth. Well, we should have been, but we gave up our position. And then Jesus came and gave it back to us that we can step on serpents, cast out demons, you know, be healed. All the promises that God has given us, we can actually walk in them here on earth. We don't need to die and get them. We have them right now available to us. Once we understand the kingdom structure, the kingdom mindset of the king and what his plan is, then we can walk as heirs, as children of God, as his royal family.
That's it.
Yeah.
And because a lot of times we have new listeners. And basically, in the beginning, God gave man dominion in Genesis 1:26. And he created the earth for us to rule over.
Amen.
And we pray, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, because we are to be releasing God's kingdom in the earth, basically. But when Adam sinned, he released it to Satan. And at that point, he became the God of this earth, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he said, all these kingdoms are mine. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. And Jesus didn't say, these aren't yours. You can't give them away. He said that they were given unto him to give to whoever he wanted to. So the kingdom, Satan does rule on this earth and has a lot of authority over this. And Jesus came, and by the blood of his sacrifice, the Holy Spirit was given to us so we can move in the power he had given to us. So we can move in the power he in them is the problem. That's where the battle is.
It's not people, places, or things. It's the spirits that are behind, well, I'm going to say working through them, that we are influenced by. If we don't know who we are in Christ, if we don't know our position, and not only we can know this and confess it, and this is what step one is about, the confession, you know, admitting we're powerless over our situation, over the things that are, you know, issues in our lives. It could be anger. It could be all those things. When we can finally admit that no matter how much I try in my own will, no matter how many people I try to, you know, believe if they change, my life will get better. No matter how many places I think or things that I acquire, no matter how times I how much money I have, when I can stop using all that those reasons to believe that my life will get better, and I finally surrender and say, I need something bigger than myself, bigger than anything in this world. I need God. I need God. We cry out, and Jesus shows up. He shows up when we finally surrender and we confess that we do need a Savior. And then step two is what we're finishing up today, and that's the hope. You know, it's step two is to believe. Come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Because when I'm powerless, that's an insane way to live. When we're feeling hopeless and powerless and helpless through, you know what I mean, in life. when we feel like no matter what we do, we just can't get to that place of peace or joy or true peace. I'm not talking about fleeting moments, you know, because you can win the lotto and feel good for a little while. But if you don't know how to manage kingdom style, right? Eventually, it's going to start ruling you, basically. And that's what happens in life with everything. If we don't understand the kingdom principles in joy, the kingdom principles in finances, the kingdom principle in marriage. You know, everything we do is a marriage. I mean, you're in a relationship with your money. You should be. Is it a good one? Is it healthy? You know, like, think about it. Everything, our children, we're in some sort of union, marriage. And that's why God talks about marriage. That's why he talks about sowing seeds, farming, because we're planting and reaping and all these things are so important. But if we don't understand the kingdom of God and what the kingdom is like, we're not going to understand how to operate in this world through those battles that James is talking about. You know, like if I don't know the word and how to stand on that word, because even in, what is it, Ephesians, when it tells you the armor?
Yeah.
Wear the armor. Chapter 6, and it says stand and stand and stand. So you could have all this.
But when you did all, done all to stand.
When you do it all, right.
And it says when you've done all to stand, stand there.
Stand, right. And then stand again. Right. So we have to, what are we standing on, you know, and we should be on the rock, Jesus Christ, the word of God. He is the word. He's the way. He is the life. Hallelujah. So yeah. I wanted to. Oh, go ahead, James.
And I always liken it to get someone giving you a Mercedes or something and then you coming back to them and complaining because it's so hot and all this different stuff because you don't know it has AC and you don't know it has a heater and you don't know. You can adjust the mirrors with this button, and you don't know all the stuff it does. And if you just read the owner's manual and see everything that it does, that's how it is with God. Because if we'd read the Bible and know the precious promises we have, the problem is most people are ignorant to them. Most godly people.
That's the problem.
You know, I've been in several churches lately teaching on healing because it just, they don't know nothing. They don't even know God's already done that, you know, that. It hasn't manifested because they haven't stood, but
yes,
and just on a lot of things, freedom and deliverance from fear and all this different stuff, depression.
So the word of God is the owner's manual.
Exactly.
It's God's manual for us, how to operate, how we should operate. So if sometimes we use metaphors, Pastor Tom, we're like, if you're a Maytag, you're not going to go to Whirlpool. Because there might be one screw that's a little different. You want to go to the creator of Maytag and find out how they put Maytag together. And we are his creation. When we get born again, we are now entered in to the royal kingdom. And we are his royal priesthood. We're his children. We have a mandate. And in order to be able to operate in that mandate and understand to stand... And understand that he will supply all your needs, because if he's going to send you out, he's going to equip you. And that's who the Holy Spirit is for us. He's the one that was sent to equip us with everything we need when we're lining up with the king's decree, God's decrees. Okay, the Father God's decrees. Now, so step two is coming to believe. And that's what we're talking about. Do I believe that God has equipped me with the Holy Spirit? And we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit after this week for a little bit, because we need to know who he is and what his purpose is and, you know, his desires are. You know, he's so we have Father God, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and then he communicates to the Holy Spirit, who communicates to us what is going on and what we need to be doing every day. It's daily bread, daily sanctification, daily relationship. I was telling the girls in the jail, I could be married, legally married, and say, yes, I am married, but not spend any time with him and be more intimate with my friends, you know, because it's time spent. It's getting to know each other. And I could still have that legal marriage and say, yeah, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, but not spend time with him and not know him and know what he's done for me and who's ever listening to him. So I wanted to go back to John 3, the new birth, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. It says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's the kingdom of God we're talking about. Now, there's a kingdom of darkness that we can absolutely be under the influence. And, you know, I believe we can see that because they'll let us when we're oppressed by anger or even possessed by anger or jealousy or fear or worry, or we'll say OCD. That's, you know, like control, you know. So, and they will let us, you know, that's why even psychics and all those people that I know I used to go to, I had to repent for that, you know, fortune telling and all that stuff. They can see things, but it's not of God is what I'm trying to say. Okay. So, this is where, unless we're born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I remember thinking that way. Like, I didn't have that spiritual revelation, that understanding it. I remember thinking, what is God saying about that? Like, what does that mean to be born again? You know? And then Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I believe that's born natural on the earth and also supernatural in the spiritual realm, being born again. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, because we won't need to be born again when we die. You know, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. But here on earth, because you're in the flesh, we got an opportunity, thank you, Jesus, to be born again and put back into our position, into the place that God created us to be, in his presence in the garden, just before they fell, okay? With the tree of life for eternity. Hallelujah. So he says, do not marvel that I say this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? So no matter how much we know in our minds or study, if we're not born again, if we don't turn our life born again, now we can pray to God. There are many people in the Bible praying to God. The centurion prayed to God. His heart, he was seeking God. The Saul, same God, but it wasn't until they all saw Jesus, came face to face with Jesus, that they understood who God is, that they got into that fourth dimension, that spiritual realm. Okay. So if you notice, if you read stories, it's not until we open our eyes to Jesus Christ as being Lord and Savior. Okay. So most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify. So what we know is the information we gather, right? So we speak those things, the information. And we testify what we have seen. So unless I see the kingdom, even though it's not in the natural, something I can actually touch, and unless I see it in the spirit, it's hard for me to testify to something, be a witness, if I'm not born again, and really be able to draw people in, because I'm truly convinced. And you do not receive our witness. He says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe in God's only begotten Son. So this is one of the, I think, hindrances in even my own experience, even in 12-step programs, is that, you know, it really, I believed probably the majority of what everybody else was believing, you know, and I loved God and all this, but I didn't understand who Jesus was. And it blocked me from a lot of things for a long time in my life, you know, and it wasn't until I know Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I know God. But then when I really started seeking for myself, and that's really at the 11th step of in the program, where you have to sort through prayer and meditation to improve your conscious contact with God. So they're telling you, go out, seek him. And it doesn't matter. I believe this, and it says it in our literature, that each one of us have that fundamental truth, that because we all have the void of the Holy Spirit leaving us when Adam, we were all inside Adam. So when Adam lost the Holy Spirit, so did we. We were born into the void of the Holy Spirit, which is the God hole in our hearts, and we're looking all over for love. God is love. We're looking in at all the wrong places, right, to fill that emptiness inside of us. We don't know what it is in the beginning, and it disguises itself as God in so many different ways, you know, like, oh, that feels good, that looks good, that sounds good, and we get deceived, right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy the word of God in you. He could care less if you're good, bad, going to heaven, going to hell. He wants the word that's inside of you, because the word is living. That's the living being that he wants inside of you, the Holy Spirit, you know. You're a vessel, okay? And only spirits can only operate through vessels. They need a human vessel to operate, and that's what he's after.
Good or bad.
Good or bad, correct. So, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And there it is. It's Jesus Christ. And this is the condemnation. This is it. I'm going to give you what the condemnation is right now. That the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. I was guilty of that, because their deeds were evil. So even knowing about Jesus, growing up, you know, having some kind of concept that Jesus came and he died, and I saw him as a religious figure. I saw him as a world changer. You know, I didn't see him as the Messiah. Well, I would say he was the Messiah, but I didn't understand that. Who the Messiah was, you know, what I was saying, you know, and until I was living, that was, in my mind, a separate entity. That was my religious belief. It was okay, though, if I was socially living crazy, you know, that was my religion. Oh, yeah, I believe in God, but then I could do whatever I want. And God wants all of us, every part of us, our body, our spirit, our soul. He wants everything. So that he, not because he wants to control us, so that we can be free in every area of our life, you know, and receive the blessings that he has for us. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So I'll say this, it's like anything else. When I was very active in my addiction, I'll say my drug and alcohol addiction, I wasn't interested in hanging out with people that were sober. I just wasn't, you know, like I was like, and even if I did, nobody's going to tell me how to live, you know, like that was just what I was doing. So I avoided light, basically. You know, why did we think, you know, docks are, bars are dark, clubs, you know, things like that. And then we, a little more and more, the more deeper we get into the addictions, the darker our world becomes, because we're going deeper in, deeper in, deeper in. It starts out where you think you can handle it. It's not so bad. It's fun. I have, you know, I'm young. These are my friends. This is what kids do. Bop, 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 bop. As you grow and as you go into it, more into it, because you're growing into that territory. You're getting deeper into it. It's getting darker and darker. So it says that his deeds may be clearly seen. I didn't want anybody to see. If I was hanging out with people that I was like-minded, as far as I was concerned, we were all cool. We were all messed up, though. You know what I mean? It's like anything else. And that they have been done, let me read this. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Hallelujah. So now, you know, it doesn't matter. I can go anywhere. I'm free to go anywhere. And because I'm not doing the dark things, so I can go in dark places and bring light. Hallelujah. And so can anybody else. We all have that ability when you're born again. So Romans, and this is where step 2, 1 and 2. So that's that. The first one is more like step 1. We need to get born again, and that's the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I need a Savior. I need help. I've tried everything in my own strength. I've tried other people's strength. I tried other people, places, and things to help me, and nothing works. And it's not until that moment that we can actually, it's through the brokenness. If I don't realize that there's a broken part in me, I'm not going to ask for help to get fixed, you know? So Romans 10:5-10 says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is the law, and we still have, so righteousness is the obedience, the honor, the reverence to God, okay? The man who does those things shall live by them, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, and this is so important because we declare that Jesus Christ is the Lord, love me, love God with all your heart, your soul, right? Who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from heaven, from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth. He's in you. He doesn't need to come back down, and you don't need to start raising him back up. He's already risen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. The same Spirit, same breath of life, okay, is in us that is in Jesus and was in Jesus when he was walking the earth. Okay, so, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. So if we don't confess these things, and if we don't start believing in a power greater than ourselves, it's very hard. We're going to talk about turning our will over to God. It's going to be very difficult to do that. And that is that the word of faith, which we preach, and that's what comes out of our mouth, from our heart, okay? If the Holy Spirit's near you, he's only going to preach. He's only going to speak. And he's only going to lead and guide us towards Christ, towards Jesus, okay? So, and Jesus is the faith, that he is the Messiah. That's the rock that we stand on. That if you confess with your mouth that Lord Jesus, and believe that the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confess is made unto salvation. So we can be saved, confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but then the Lord part is the heart part. Am I willing to let him be Lord of my life? And that's where people stop. That's why it's so important. We can confess lots of things, but it's the heart. I was sharing with someone today. We did like a little phone talk. And I said, well, let me talk about the opposite of what that looks like. When I was a young kid, when my parents disciplined me or I wasn't allowed to do something, I'd be like, I hate them. I wish they were dead. I wish they were my parents. And but God, I was confessing this. But God knew my heart. He knew I loved my parents. And it would have killed me if they would have died, you know? Yeah. But he knew my heart, and it's the opposite. So, like, we say, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, but our hearts are saying, no, he's not, because I still want to do it my way, you know? So that's the way I kind of explained it. Did you want to say something, James?
It's just giving your whole heart, because people give pieces of their heart and they feel like they've given it, but I'm not giving them this area, or I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
You get that.
Amen. And this is the thing. And when we do that, so like for me, giving him my addiction to, I'm saying my addiction to, you know, used to be the old man, to drugs and alcohol, because there were lots of other things I was addicted to after I put that down, like anger. I mean, I feel like we have, God placed that for us to have in a healthy way, to be yearning for him. When I say addiction, a yearning for, when I put that yearning down for drugs and alcohol, you know what I mean? There were other things that I still yearned for that weren't him. You know, and so what does the enemy do? He highlights those areas. They become more complicated. They become more challenging. They become more frustrating in your life, because you're like, and this was what I was like. I put down, my life is still not perfect. You know what I'm saying? Because I made the sacrifice. Well, that it's not supposed to be making a sacrifice, because he already did it. You know, it's supposed to be a love offering, actually. To not want to live like that.
All the thing is, too, the Jews understood salvation. Like, we're like, okay, I'm saved. I want this and I want that. And I got to die. Oh, man, I need to stop this or that. But we're not really grateful. Most Christians I know, the gratitude of actually being saved.
Yeah.
The tremendous thing that has happened. It's like,
it is. So Acts 2:36-41, and this is all in step 1 and 2. These, I believe, are the key prayers, the key word that ties us into what that looks like, you know. And that's you know, we admit that we're powerless over our situation or whatever it is that we're struggling with, and our lives become unmanageable. And then the second step is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And this is, if I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is the power that God has placed in me, then I'm going to have a hard time, like what we just said, giving up myself for himself. You know what I'm saying? So Acts 2:36-41 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. That means just turn your thinking, turn around, be open to know something different. You're going in the wrong direction of life. You need to turn around. You're going in the opposite direction of where God is. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children. Hallelujah. And to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So this happened shortly after Jesus was crucified. I'm going to say shortly, maybe a few, you know, that, because they walked years after him, preaching the good news that the kingdom of God, that of heaven, was here inside of us. But so, and it gave a promise that not only to them, but to the children, and then far off, that's us. We get to participate and partake in that promise. Hallelujah. Right? So we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And I know if you're born again, he called you. Okay? And this is how the church grows. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That's what we're being saved from. This perverse generation. The things that are influencing, the dark things, the rebellious things that are influencing this world that keep people from the goodness of God. Then those who gladly received his word, gladly, not miserably, were baptized because their heart was wanting more of him, right? And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Hallelujah, was added to them, meaning multiplied. We are called to be fruitful and multiply. I went to a group this week, and I was sharing with some of the women there that are resentment, fear, and harms done, sexual and relational harms done to others, is about that. It's about, you know, our souls multiplying, being multiple, you know. If we can't get along with each other, how are we going to multiply love? How are we going to multiply happiness, joy, peace, forgiveness? You know, we're not going to be able to do those things if we're always in strife with each other or blaming each other or angry at each other. So God wants us, he calls us to forgive because he be loved. He calls us beloved because love lives in us. So he wants us to be loved. That means act like you're loved. You don't need anybody else's love. You have his love. You're complete with his love. So live loved. Show people what love looks like, what it looks like to know love, to be loved, because that's what everybody's looking for. Hallelujah. So, and then the last part that of this beginning of what we're going to do is the step three, leap of faith. And I think I'll read that after we finish. Well, I'll read it now, and then I'll read it again when we get to step three. But this is where we surrender our will, our soul, our mind, mood, emotion to, it's the let go and let God slogan. We all heard it, right? And one and two is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added. Well, they can't be added if I'm not operating the way he planned me to operate, the way he designed me to operate, with the Holy Spirit. So I surrender your will, your soul, to let go and let God lead you and let his will take over. And that's where he becomes the Lord of your life. Okay. And in Proverbs 3:5-8, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes, in the natural, in the things that you think you know. That's why he says we have to come as babies, because babies are willing to learn, and we need to be willing to learn. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So when I fear the Lord, I'm reverence, loving the Lord. I'm honoring the Lord. What does that look like? It means being, you know, obedient to his word, or at least a remorseful heart trying to walk things out in my life so that I can be obedient to his word, that desire to be obedient to his word or to honor his word. I'll take the word obedient because people get a little uncomfortable with that word, but to honor and serve and to live his word out, right? Because I love him. That's what that is. And then evil flees. Hallelujah. But there's an assignment before evil departs. It's to fear the Lord. And he says, how do I know who? I know those who love me by those who honor, obey, and live out my word. And that's the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom, to be able to put his word in action in all your affairs. So,
John 15:10, if you abide in me, I'm sorry, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Amen, amen. So, and in Proverbs 3:8, it says, it will be health to your flesh. So that's a promise, and strength to your bones. So your flesh is, I believe, the natural, the outside of us, you know, the flesh of us, our bodies. And the bones is the bone marrow. It's the inner, deepest, most inner parts of us. It's the inner man, the spiritual man. So we got fullness of God in us operating through us. Okay. And strengthening that inner man, meaning spiritual growth. Okay. And the health to the flesh. And 1 Peter 5:6-8 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's seeking people, and so not everybody's devourable, edible. But there are some, you know, so there's a sign that you could be in a place where he doesn't want to eat, because you're the word. You have the word in you. You're talking the word to him. You know, I watched The Chosen with the girls, and we were on the spirit, and that's when the demonic were, you know, the oppressed. Mm-hmm. And he would come around and he'd go, I smell it. It smells so horrible. It was holiness, because even though it was disciples and they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was around them through Jesus. And when the demonic spirit would come around, it would like cringe and be like, I can't take the smell, because it was holy, you know? So let him cringe and squeal and run. Flee. Hallelujah. So the principles behind step one and two is honesty, admitting powerlessness, and hope, believing in a higher power. Higher power is Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. Now, let me tell you why. He's seated at the highest place, and he has all authority. So that's higher power. He has the highest power, and he's the one. So I declare Jesus Christ as my higher power when I go into places where people, because we're allowed to. That's my story. You can, you know, I can say who I believe my higher power is, and people need to hear that. And then I have a reasoning for it, right? And then step three, which we will get to, is faith, and that's turning my will over to the care of God. But I can't do that if I don't believe and I don't trust that he's equipped me with the Holy Spirit to be able to walk through temptation, to walk through the fire. Because there's going to be fire, you know, but the Holy Spirit doesn't burn. He's not combustible. Sin is. So, you know, when we walk through the fire, the Meshach, Abednego, Asher, who's the other one?
Well, Reshach, Meshach, and Abednego, I think.
Thank you. So I will say this. The reason why they didn't burn is because they were in reverence, fear of the Lord, wisdom of the Lord. So there was no sin in that moment, because the sin would have been if they would have bowed down, and they stood in allegiance, in agreement, in union with God's word, with God's relationship, over being sentenced to death. So in the fire, they weren't burning. There was no sin found in them with Jesus, and he was in the midst of them. Hallelujah. So let's just do a little review before we get into next week, the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he does for us and, you know, his purpose. So we are filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Put someone or something into, and this is what it means to be filled, into a space, a container. Let him fill you. You're the container. You're the vessel. You're the body. You're his house. You're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful is that? That's such good news. So that it can be completely full. So what does that mean? So he can be completely full in us, bubble up and out of us. So that's daily sanctification. God starts, you know, we want to be, and yes, he does pour in, because other people have Holy Spirit too, and they can pour into us, you know, but God wants to pour out of you, and he's the bubbling, like the pool at Bethesda, okay? Yeah. The pool at Bethesda was bubbling up. That's the pool inside of us, but that's Jesus. He's the only healer. So, I mean, I did a whole thing on that, but I'm not going to get into that. So that that bubbling up in us is Jesus bubbling up, his spirit bubbling up in us and out of us, okay? So he wants to start in us and completely fill us. But every time I choose other things outside of God and his will and his way, I'm grieving him. I'm putting something on top. And it could be my own selfish desires, you know. It's usually always self-centered. It's self. You know, it's always self. Self's the biggest problem. I get in my own way. So the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we did talk a little bit about that. 1 Peter 1:2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, and may grace, and that's Jesus Christ. So this is, you're getting infilled. He's coming. They're talking about him coming. That John the Baptist was some, and Jesus, and John the Baptist said, the one that comes will baptize you with power and fire, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we need the fire. The fire is the ability to go through trials. Hallelujah. And it's hard to give up your will if you don't feel strong, if you don't feel convinced that you can, right? That's why the Holy Spirit is so important to us, because he will encourage us. He will rebuke us if we need to change something so that we can build ourselves up in faith. All right. So when the day of this is Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we're born in both body and spirit of God. Hallelujah. We're adopted. We're citizens. We have dual citizenship here on earth and as it is in heaven. We are a child of God, his royal family. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink one of one spirit. So we were all made, we were all created to exist in one spirit, his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So be impregnated with God's seed by the Holy Spirit, because that's who impregnates us with Jesus Christ, right? Say yes, like Mary said yes to the angel of God, that we want him to dwell in us. We want him to grow in us. Acts 2:38 says, Peter replied, well, we did this one, so I'm not going to do that again. But to be baptized is involve oneself deeply in a particular activity or interest. Immerse yourself. To be baptized in what? And what are you immersing in? Are you immersing in your phone? You know, maybe advancements, you know, positions outside of the kingdom, you know, worldly positions. So Luke 3:16 says, John answered their question by saying, I baptize you with water. Thank you, Jesus, that this came out. Water. But someone is coming who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I put in parentheses, power, anointing. His power and anointing. And with fire. Hallelujah. Okay. Good.
I just want to read a scripture too.
Yeah.
It's Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. This is after they had, I believe, killed James. Might have been Stephen. Not sure which one in this part. But anyway, they behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth our hands to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word in boldness. Now these are the same people that were already filled with the Spirit that you read earlier. So it's not a one-time thing, right? You know, people, oh yeah, I spoke in tongues 20 years ago. I did it. You know, I got that, you know, then they just go on living for the world. And, and not saying then sin necessarily, there's good people, but we want to constantly be filled.
It's an infilling. Yeah. It's like a bubbling, like what we were saying earlier, James, about like starting from the deepest part of your innermost being and bubbling up. And how does that happen? When we start reading the word, hearing the word, when we let those natural resources penetrate in us, right, to get the spiritual senses activated, right, then that's him bubbling up in us, up, 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 up. But if I never do this stuff, I can't activate the Holy Spirit in me. You know, it's our will that, you know, it has the dominion, basically. To either go with the Holy Spirit and feed off the word of God so that I can get strong in my spirit that way, or feed off the demonic stuff, you know?
A lot of people are like, I never hear the Lord. I'm like, you start helping others. He'll speak more to you through you when you're helping somebody else than you'll ever get answers for yourself.
Because he's going to equip you to do it.
But it just come to you. And you can leave like, man, that was good. Where did that come from? He's talking to you.
Amen.
Through you.
That's right. So Mark 1:14-15 says, now after John was arrested, and this is, and what does arrested mean? It means ended. His purpose was done. A final part of something. So he was arrested. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. That means because it ended from where John, because he gets beheaded, you know, of course his head, because God, Jesus's head now is the head, fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. And that's Jesus. So you were made in his image. The same spirit can live in you. And he lives in you, right? You get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but then we need daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. We want to spend time with God. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we can grieve him. We can quench him because we're not honoring and listening and letting him lead and guide us into all truth. So you were made in his image. You were made righteous while a sinner. Hallelujah. You were made, it's already been done. So you were created for this purpose. You were made healed while sick, and you were made prosperous while poor. You were made free while still in bondage. So this is where the faith comes in step three, where if I start to truly be convinced that these things are God's will for me, and this is his word, then I will be able to, it's easier to say, okay, the way I've been doing it doesn't work. I need to turn my ways towards him. Turn my will over to him. But if I don't know who I'm giving the keys to my house is, I'm not going to be comfortable letting a stranger in, right? So I need to get to know who I'm allowing him in and out of my house when I'm not around, if I'm going on a vacation, you know? So Acts 10:44-48 says, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. Hallelujah. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. And that was to disciple him, to witness to him, so that he can learn about Jesus Christ. Peter was with Jesus Christ, so he wanted to know more. And that's usually what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in. You have a hunger and a thirst because the Holy Spirit wants Jesus. He's drawing you into him. Hallelujah. Okay, so he preached the gospel to Cornelius and the whole family for days. And the same thing happened to Saul before he was Paul. For 3 days he was blind. I believe that he was being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, by God, by an angel of God, to that the Holy Spirit was going to come and fill him. But he had to get to a place where he truly believed Praise the Lord. So Acts 5:32 says, we are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. So like we said earlier, it's important that obey means to honor, to love, to reverence, to be in agreement with God's word. All right, because that's when, if even when I don't think I can do it, if I just do it because it's a mandate to go preach the gospel, like James was saying, God's going to equip me in spite of me. Hallelujah. Because he wants to get his job done. You know, it's just, we have to get out of our head and into the heart and know God's heart. Right. So when we obey, we submit to authority completely with command, direction, carrying out action or behaving according to or managed by the Holy Spirit. We just fully surrender, willing to be discipled by Jesus and discipled by the Holy Spirit of God. We become disciples through discipline with God. And then we can be a disciple for God, because then people see our lifestyle. Hallelujah. Okay, so we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ananias went, when we were talking about that, to Saul, and had a dream, and he knew about Saul. And Saul was a big, bad guy at that time. And he did it anyway, because it was a mandate. And Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit, became Paul. Thank God he was obedient. We don't know what God's doing in that other person's life. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is the power we need to change us into the image of and likeness of God. It's through the Holy Spirit, right? From worldly image, godly things, worldly gods, to the divine, heavenly, spiritual, loving God. We want to be in his image, his child. We are a child of God. We are in a royal family, right? From the old to the new. The original plan God has for you, the way he created us to be in his image and likeness. And that's step two. And next week, we'll talk more about the Holy Spirit and what he does in us, through us, for us, with us, and for others, for God, through us. He's God's messenger, and he's God's governor here on earth. So, amen. So with that, you want to...
I run out of time, but says in chapter 9 that Ananias was sent.
That's what I,
that he had actually spoke to Paul and said, a man, Ananias, is coming to lay hands on thee.
Amen. So when we listen to God, and Paul didn't throw him out, he listened to God and accepted it. So we just want to say, we love you all. Shalom, shalom. We agape you. Have a great week.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Blood of Christ, wash over me. Wash over me, though sin has stained me. Blood of Christ, come speak for me. My covering, it is your glory. We need the blood, we plead the blood. Receive the blood of Christ. We need the blood, and we plead the blood. Receive the blood.